Dangerous thinking. It's common for participants in my seminars to ask why it matters that the assumptions of the past are wrong. Charles Darwin's ideas offer a perfect example. They were first introduced in the mid-1800s, and we're now in the 21st century. Honestly, why is it important? These are good questions, and the answers surprise many people. It's precisely because so many of the false assumptions of science came into being when they did that they've had the impact they've had on our world. Because so many of these false assumptions were introduced in the late 1800s and early 1900s, precisely when the foundation of our modern way of life was put into place, it's not surprising to see these principles reflected in so many aspects of our world today. During this time, the propositions put forth by the science of the day, such as the belief that there's no field of energy that connects the world, implying that everything is separate from everything else, and the belief that nature is based upon competition and survival of the strongest, these ideas were quickly accepted and applied to the thinking about war, economies, and the way we solve our problems. In ways that are sometimes subtle and sometimes not so subtle, these false beliefs are still with us today. For example, studies from experts such as University of Illinois archaeologist Lawrence H. Keeley, author of the book War Before Civilization, contribute to the acceptance of war as a normal expression of human behavior. Based on his scholarly exploration of our past and his interpretation of the evidence he's found, Keeley's opinion is that war is a natural state of human affairs. He says, quote, "War is something like trade or exchange. It's something all humans do," end of quote. This type of thinking, which embraces competition, struggle, and survival of the strongest as natural elements, is reflected at the very foundation of the big systems that are in crisis today. The world's economic system, the business models of many modern corporations, and the way in which we manage vital necessities of food and energy are all examples of modern consequences reflecting an obsolete way of thinking. These false beliefs are with us in ways that are less subtle as well. Some of the greatest suffering of the 20th century was justified by the ideas of survival of the strongest. The thinking implied in all forms of genocide, and directly spelled out in some, is linked to Darwin's observations of nature and the way he portrayed it in his writings and how these writings were interpreted by others. This thinking is mirrored in philosophical works such as the infamous Little Red Book, officially titled Quotations from Chairman Mao Zedong, and in Mein Kampf, the book that detailed Adolf Hitler's worldview. Both books were used as justification for brutal killings that took a combined toll of at least 40 million people in the last century. Nature's model, cooperation. In the opening address at the 1993 Symposium on the Humanistic Aspects of Regional Development, co-chair Ronald Logan offered a context for the participants to view the new discoveries of cooperation in nature as a model for successful societies. Logan cited the work of Alfie Kahn, author of the book No Contest, describing what Kahn's research reveals regarding a beneficial amount of competition in groups. After reviewing more than 400 studies documenting cooperation and competition, Kahn concluded, quote, "The ideal amount of competition in any environment, the classroom, the workplace, the family, the playing field, is none. Competition," he says, "is always destructive," end of quote. The natural world is widely recognized as a proving ground for experiments in unity, cooperation, and survival among insects and animals. From nature's lessons, we're shown without question that unity and cooperation are advantageous to living beings. Such time-tested strategies from the world around us may ultimately lead us to develop a new blueprint for our own survival. To apply a strategy of cooperation, however, an additional factor must be accounted for in our world that does not appear in the animal kingdom. As individuals and as a species, human beings generally must know where we are going and what we can expect when we get there before we are willing to change the way we live. We need to know that the result is worthwhile and something to look forward to. Clearly, we don't know all there is to know about how the universe works and our role in it. While future studies will undoubtedly produce greater insights, it's sometimes best to make choices based upon what we know in the moment, so that we can live to refine our choices later. Will we embrace what science has revealed? Sir Martin Rees, a professor of astrophysics at the University of Cambridge and a powerful voice in the scientific community, suggests that, quote, the odds are no better than 50-50 that our present civilization will survive to the end of the next century, end of quote. The reason, he says, is because of us. While we've always had natural disasters to contend with, a new class of threats that Rees calls human-induced now have to be taken into account as well. Emerging studies, such as those reported in Scientific American's Crossroads for Planet Earth, echo Rees's warning, telling us, quote, the next 50 years will be decisive in determining whether the human race, now entering a unique period in its history, can ensure the best possible future for itself, end of quote. The good news the experts almost universally agree upon, however, is that if decision makers can get the framework right, the future of humanity will be secured by thousands of mundane decisions. It's in the details of everyday life that the most profound advances are made. Well, without a doubt, each of us will be asked to make countless decisions in the near future. I can't help but think, however, that one of the most profound and perhaps the simplest will be to embrace what the new science has shown us about who we are and our role in the world. If we can accept, rather than deny, the powerful evidence that the individual sciences are showing us, then everything changes, and with that change, we can begin anew. While for some people, the possibilities hinted at by new discoveries are a refreshing way to view the world, for others, they shake the very foundation of long-standing tradition. It's sometimes easier to rest on the false assumptions of outdated science than to embrace information that changes everything we understand. When we do, however, we live in the illusion of a lie. We lie to ourselves about who we are and the possibilities that await us. We lie to those who trust and rely upon us to teach them the latest and greatest truths about our world. When I share this irony with live audiences, often the response echoes the wisdom of science fiction author Tad Williams, who wrote, quote, we tell lies when we are afraid. Afraid of what we don't know, afraid of what others will think, afraid of what will be found out about us. But every time we tell a lie, the thing that we fear grows stronger, end of quote. When the discoveries of today tell us that the teachings of the past are no longer true, we must make a choice. Do we continue teaching the false principles and suffering the consequences of wrong assumptions? If we do, then we must answer an even deeper question. What are we afraid of? What is it about knowing the deepest truths of who we are, our origins, and our relationship to one another and the earth that's so threatening to our way of life? Figuring this out may become the greatest challenge of our time in history. It forces us to answer the big question that is uncomfortable for some people and threatening for others. That question is simply this: can we face the truth that we've asked ourselves to discover? Do we have the courage to accept what the best science of today reveals about who we are in the universe and how we fit into the world? If the answer to these questions is yes, then we must also accept the responsibility that comes with knowing we can change the world by changing ourselves. Our willingness to accept the deep truths of life is the key to whether or not our children will survive our choices and have the opportunity to explore the next deep truths discovered in their lives.